Democrats in New Hampshire accuse Republicans of gerrymandering. Right now, Democrats control both the state's two House seats, but Republicans have proposed a new map that could help them retake one of those seats. New Hampshire is a purple state that usually leans blue in federal elections. Democrats have won the last five presidential races there. Both U.S. senators are Democrats, and Democrats have held both House seats since 2016. But Republicans control the state legislature, and their plan to dramatically redraw the state's congressional maps has outraged Democrats and voting rights advocates.
Don't do this to the state of New Hampshire, and follow the commandment that we would like to follow as well, and that is, thou shalt not gerrymander.
That's Gail Kinney, a congregational pastor from the town of Canaan. At a recent public hearing at the state capitol in Concord, only one person spoke out in favor of the proposed Republican map. Everybody else, including Pastor Kinney and Corrine Dodge of Derry, objected to the plan.
And all this so that the majority party will have an unfair advantage in winning elections for the next 10 years. No political party should do that to voters.
New Hampshire currently has two congressional districts where Democrats have won the last three elections. But the Republican proposal would shift dozens of towns and hundreds of thousands of voters from one district to the other. The result would be a Democratic-leaning district that wraps around another district that would favor Republicans and likely help them win back one of the seats in Congress. Is it gerrymandered?
I don't think it's gerrymandered.
This is Barbara Griffin, a Republican state rep who led the effort in the House to redesign the map. The New Hampshire House has already passed the plan, which is now being considered by the state Senate. Griffin says after the latest census, the plan seeks to ensure that the two districts have an equal number of voters.
One of the principles of redistricting is that you don't protect incumbency, and you're supposed to be drawing lines essentially from scratch, much to the consternation of many people who hit the voting booth or are elected.
Griffin also defends having two districts that are less competitive, one that would favor Republicans and the other Democrats. She says that will help New Hampshire reps stay in power longer, build up seniority, and ultimately increase the state's influence in Washington. Ross Berry, a Republican state rep from Manchester, agrees.
Let's look at the infrastructure plan that just passed through Congress. New Hampshire was dead last in funding, and it's because our congresspeople are not able to climb the ranks of leadership. Under this plan, we'll have more stable congresspeople that can advocate for us and bring it back.
The map would also help Republicans retake the House, where Democrats currently maintain a slim majority. New Hampshire GOP Chairman Stephen Stepanek pledged last year that his party would send a Republican to Congress in the next election, and this map would make that more likely. Democrats call this a brazen example of gerrymandering. They offered an alternative map that would shift just one town with less than 10,000 people to balance the populations in the two districts. By contrast, the Republican plan would move 75 towns and wards and more than 365,000 people.
These would be the most dramatic changes in our state's congressional maps over the course of the last 140 years.
Matt Wilhelm, a Democratic state rep from Manchester, argues the Republican map would discourage people from voting because the districts would be less competitive. And he says it would make it hard for moderates to win.
I think we're going to see really extreme candidates emerge out of partisan primaries who then have a clear path to victory in the general election.
Similar fights are happening all across the country, says Michael Lee, senior counsel at the Brennan Center for Justice.
We live in a very hyper-partisan age. You know, there's a sense that so much rides on who controls the House that people are looking for advantage wherever they can find it, including in places that historically have not had very contentious redistricting.
Which includes New Hampshire. Lee says both parties engage in gerrymandering, but in this cycle, Republicans have a big advantage because they control most state legislatures that are redrawing the maps. Only nine states leave the work to nonpartisan commissions. Lee says the Republican map in New Hampshire stands out because it would shift more than a quarter of the state's population.
Whenever you see large population movements like that, it's a huge red flag. That's like an immediate sort of signal that you need to take a closer look under the hood.
New Hampshire's Republican governor, Chris Sununu, said he'd veto any redistricting plan that doesn't pass the smell test. And he recently suggested on WMUR-TV that the state Senate alter the Republican proposal.
If you have a map like that, you're really locking folks in. I just think it could be better. So I've asked him to kind of go back, and I think a lot of senators are willing to do that. I don't think anyone says, boy, what a winner that map is.
Sununu stopped short of threatening to veto this particular plan if it ends up on his desk, which worries his critics. They say the outcome of future elections depends on what happens next. So let's turn now to Democratic Congressman Chris Pappas, who represents New Hampshire's 1st Congressional District, which includes much of the eastern part of the state. Under the Republican plan, his district would become much more Republican-leaning. And Congressman Pappas, good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Nice to be with you, Anthony. Thank you.
Sure, it's our pleasure. Give us your assessment of this redistricting fight taking shape in New Hampshire, and in particular of this proposed Republican map.
Well, it's really unprecedented, and I think it runs contrary to the values that we hold dear as Granite Staters, the very competitive nature of our state every 2 years. And so to see maps that are being drawn to pick winners and losers, where essentially politicians in Concord want to dictate the outcome of elections, I think is disturbing. And I think we've seen a strong reaction against it as the House has conducted hearings, as now the state Senate has had a public hearing on this issue. Your piece mentioned that only one person showed up in support of these maps. Many more people on a bipartisan basis have rejected these maps because they're just patently unfair. So I think as we move forward, I'm hoping that the state Senate and the governor will continue to listen to the people of New Hampshire and draw lines that are much more consistent with who we are as a state, look for ways to keep communities of interest together, and ultimately let the voters decide. I think that is best for our system.
Congressman, let me just, I know politicians don't always like to answer hypotheticals, but I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you nevertheless. Under the Republican plan, your district would be radically redrawn so that it would favor a Republican. If this plan were to be approved, could you still win re-election in this redrawn district?
Well, I'm going to move forward no matter what. And, you know, I'll be running in half the state. I just don't know which half of the state I'll be running in yet. I think most of our communities are fair-minded, pragmatic, are dominated by independent voters that like to pick and choose from one election to the next. Certainly becomes much more of an uphill battle, but I think the issues that we're talking about and fighting for here in Washington have resonance across the political spectrum. But I think that, you know, look at the districts that we have right now for Congress. I mean, I was the first representative last election in 12 years to be reelected. So certainly these seats are very competitive. I think that gives voters an outsized say in helping to shape the debate and the policies that candidates fight for. And in addition to that, there's been some well-documented data that's been put out nationwide about the disappearance of competitive districts. And I can talk specifically to what that does here in Washington. It results in polarization, results in members of Congress that are really only concerned with winning primary elections. I think that's very dangerous, and it also undercuts our ability as a Congress and as a nation to be able to come together around solutions. So I think this goes well beyond what's important for this one particular election coming up.
Right.
This is about the voters of our state and also the way our system functions.
Congressman, I take your point, and my guess is there are a lot of people listening right now who absolutely agree with you. But it seems to me that here's the one of the problems we have. Right now, I'm talking to you, a Democrat, and you're speaking, you know, in a very compelling way against gerrymandering by Republicans. But the fact is, given the opportunities, the Democrats do the same thing. I mean, we just saw a story this week about proposed gerrymandered districts in the state of New York. So how do we get around this? I mean, because when either party has the opportunity to do this, they do it.
It's wrong when Republicans do it in New Hampshire, and it's wrong when Democrats do it in states like Illinois. And I think it results in a race to the bottom and really distorts the will of the voters. And so that's why I support legislation at the federal level that would create standards. I supported the Freedom to Vote Act, which was negotiated in the Senate by Joe Manchin. Didn't quite get the votes it needed to get over the finish line, but there you would have some federal standards that would put up some guardrails for states that are just out of control with the way that they're drawing districts. Look, this process goes back generations, really, to some of the first maps that were drawn in Massachusetts. And I think that this process has become supercharged, however, with the advent of technology and programs that can allow parties to exact every possible advantage. And I think it just prevents our ability to forge solutions and to address the problems of this nation. So that's why I think we need federal standards and hope we can get some in law this year.
Let me ask you about what Republican Barbara Griffin, the state rep who I spoke to, said about this. She said one of the principles of redistricting is that you don't protect incumbency and you're supposed to be drawing lines essentially from scratch, much to the consternation of many people who hit the voting booth or who were elected. Can you respond to that? Is she right about that? In which case, what's your response?
Well, I think the best way you can sort of mitigate the advantages of incumbency is by having open and fair districts, districts that are a fair fight. As I mentioned, the first district in New Hampshire is highly competitive. It flipped back and forth between the two same individuals, five elections in a row, because independent voters have outsized influence in a district like New Hampshire 1. So I think that's exactly the way that it should be. And I think really politics shouldn't come into play. Incumbency shouldn't come into play. It really should be about communities of interest, about what makes the most sense for New Hampshire. And when you see maps beyond the congressional level that state Republicans are drawing for executive council, for state house, for state senate, they're essentially looking for an ability to lock in majorities, regardless of what the majority of people might turn out and say in a particular election over the next 10 years. I think that's very dangerous for our system. And I hope it's something that our state senators will consider as they deal with the plans that have been sent over to them from the House.
Sure. Another argument that came up from the Republicans that I spoke to up in New Hampshire was this idea that if you make the districts less competitive, and this Republican map would basically create your district would lean Republican, the second district would lean Democratic, that you're basically giving a chance for New Hampshire to build up seniority in Washington. And a couple of different people told me that this is important for a small state like New Hampshire to build that seniority in Washington to be able to bring the bacon home. What about that argument?
Well, I think seniority is certainly one of the conditions that can help create success in Washington. We've got seniority, frankly, with Senator Shaheen, who is in her third term, who helped lead negotiations on the bipartisan infrastructure deal. And along with Senator Hassan, has been involved in a lot of the compromises that have happened on the Senate side. I sit on the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee, Annie Custer's on Energy and Commerce. And so I think between the four of us, we've got great committee assignments and have put a New Hampshire spin on some of these major national issues. But I think that it's important ultimately that we're just not rewarding people because they've been there a long time. Again, this comes down to whether or not the voters will have the final say or whether an election is a foregone conclusion. And I think voters want to make sure that when they turn out to vote every 2 years, that ultimately their voice counts and that it's not being taken away by a state legislator in Concord who has a very partisan agenda.
Now, at one point, Governor Chris Sununu said that he would veto any congressional map, proposed congressional map that didn't pass the smell test. What do you expect the governor to do here? I mean, if the Senate, let's say the Senate just keeps this House plan the way the House Republicans wrote it, should he, do you expect him to veto it? What would you expect?
Well, I don't think this particular congressional map, nor the maps that have been presented for state House and state Senate, pass that smell test. I think that's obviously a very subjective benchmark, but I don't see how anyone looking at this particular map with all sorts of distorted lines where the second district reaches over to grab a few Democratic communities on the New Hampshire seacoast is anything but partisan gerrymandering. So, you know, I think the governor is paying close attention to this process, but I would hope that he would listen to the people that are turning out at these public hearings, that are speaking out against this, really all across New Hampshire, and would work with the state Senate to get better maps. I hope it doesn't have to come down to a veto on his desk. I hope that he can work cooperatively with the legislature to get New Hampshire back to where it should be, back to where we've been for decades and decades, where this kind of a political process just has been out of bounds.
All right. Well, that's Congressman Chris Pappas. He represents New Hampshire's first congressional district. Congressman Pappas, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Anthony.